And thank you. Welcome, Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr on a just an absolutely gorgeous day up and down the region. Gorgeous meaning we've got a few sprinkles or a little light rain up around the Langdon-Grafton area. Elsewhere, the crops are growing and it's looking good. When we get a good-looking weather for developing crops, often the markets turn to the downside. So, Mike Krueger, thanks to Richland IFC, everything was down except soybeans today, Mike. What was going on?
Well, corn finished up a couple of cents. I think the biggest reason that the wheat market was down was that the crop quality tour is looking at North Dakota. Started yesterday, continued today and tomorrow. First leg of the tour across the southern half of the state. I think, from what I'm told from a few people on the tour, the crop looks really, really good. USDA is forecasting a record hard red spring wheat yield for North Dakota of 51 bushels an acre. And I think this tour, at least for the first 2 days, is going to see some really good-looking wheat. I think day three, when they get up, like we've talked before, if you get that triangle from, we'll go Jamestown all the way up to Rugby Botano, back to Devil's Neck and Grand Forks, that had too much water too early, doesn't look as good. But what they're seeing so far looks very good. So I think that's part of the reason wheat markets were lower, led by Minneapolis wheat. And secondly is this on-again, off-again stuff about whether the Ukraine's going to ship corn and wheat. And it's interesting that it affects wheat some days more than corn, because their key export is corn, not wheat, out of Ukraine.
Yeah, interesting dynamics in the markets, obviously. We talked with Dave Green of the Wheat Quality Council yesterday. He was in Mott, and he mm-hmm. just said, hey, this crop is looking good. And he figured at that point on his car, anyway, they were about 44 to 48. That's what they had kind of calculated. But, man, at the end of the day, yeah, 51, that's going to push this wheat market lower.
That's a big number, and it's a pretty aggressive number, and I don't know that we'll see that as our final number. And on the other side of that, I think particularly soybeans were strong today because this hot weather is going to slide back east again. And in fact, just before we went on the air here, I saw a note from a private weather guy saying, "Hey, look out! The first 2 weeks in August are going to be really hot and really dry, and there's not the subsoil or topsoil moisture to hold things together in a pretty wide swath of the northwestern western corn belt." So I think that's maybe what got soybeans 24, 25, 26 higher, and the November beans traded back above 14 bucks. That probably attracted a little bit of buying as well. And in the corn market, aside from weather here, you know, weather in Western Europe's just been continuing to be hot and dry. And now people are saying you should maybe take as much as 15 to 20% off the European Union's corn crop. So, you know, again, like we've talked off and on, we don't need major crop disasters this year. Things are tight enough that if we shave yields off some of the, you know, remember USDA is projecting still a record corn yield in the U.S., a record soybean yield in the U.S., and a record spring wheat yield, at least in North Dakota. And they had big numbers for Europe, big numbers for South America. And I think in several of those cases, they're just not going to be there. They're not disasters, but they're not going to be quite as big as people thought.
Yeah, all tightening the supply, which should verify what you've been saying since Christmas. There is still upside potential in this market.
Well, and basis levels reflect that, too, across most of the U.S. for corn, soybeans, and wheat. They're extraordinarily high levels. And, of course, when the market needs grain, and, you know, those of us who buy and sell grain for real, not speculators in the funds, if the futures collapse and you still need to buy grain, basis is the only thing you could do to push that price high enough to entice farmers to sell, and that's what's been happening. So as we enter the last 5-6 weeks of the Northern Hemisphere growing season, this weather market's going to continue to be with us. And today, anyway, the forecasts are slipping back to hotter and drier.
Yeah. Well, and I think your private weather forecaster, I can verify what he said. I visited with a guy down in southeastern South Dakota, southwest of mm-hmm. Sioux Falls, said that the first five leaves on the bottom of most corn plants down there in southeast South Dakota, they're firing. I mean, there's a lot of brown in developing in the lower parts of the corn plants.
And a week ago, like we mentioned, Central Nebraska had 5 or 6 consecutive days of 105 or so high temperatures, and it looks like that's going to happen again in some of those areas. So, yeah, just going to, again, it's not a full-fledged drought, but it's enough to take the edge off. And if you take 5% off the national average corn yield that's currently projected, that's going to make a huge difference. And 3, 4, 5% on the soybean yield. You take 2 bushels off the record soybean yield estimate, and all of a sudden we're super tight again on beans.
For sure. All right. Well, soybeans were the bell of the ball, so to speak, today. So, hey, let's talk about food grade soybeans and their premium over the Chicago contract.
So the premium for those who contracted acres for 2022, the crop that's growing right now, range from as much as $4 to $6 over the November futures. Now, that was not over local prices. That's over futures market. So at one point in time, we had November beans trading about 15.5, which meant $19 to $21 soybeans. And even today, with November soybeans trading just above $14, that gets you $18 to $20. And we don't know exactly where those premiums will be when they start contracting acres for 2023. But I can tell you this, they're going to want more acres. Richland IFC is in 2023. Demand continues to expand. And I strongly believe that these premiums are going to be very good again next year for food-grade beans. They won't be established until we see how this North American soybean crop finishes and how many what the yield is for the food-grade crops being grown, soybean crops being grown right now. But I just it's going to be an automatic that the premiums are going to be strong again next year because of the growth in demand.
Boy, it's amazing that the countries in the Pacific Rim who do consume, and the main customers of the food grade companies around here, like Richland IFC, they love soybeans grown here in the Red River Valley. Some about our soil, or maybe it's the farmers they love. I don't know.
Well, you know, you're right. I think roughly 2/3 of the food grade soybeans exported out of this country come right out of our region, which is an important and a good deal for our producers. And historically, it's been mostly North Asia, Korea, primarily Japan. As I've mentioned, we've been Northern Crops Institute here in Fargo has been bringing in food grade soybean buyers from the southern Southeast Asia too over the last year or so, which is just an indication that the market's expanding that way as well.
All right. Well, how do they get a hold of Richland IFC?
Jake is a guy to talk to, and his number is 218-643-1797. And even though acreage contract details aren't out for 2023 yet, it's a great time over the next 30 days to go out and look at the test plots, compare the agronomic situation between food grade soybeans and conventional soybeans, get some questions answered. So when the time comes and these 2023 acreage contracts are established, the producers will know what they want to do and jump in early. And I also want to remind producers that these are production contracts. I mean, they're acreage contracts. I mean, so it's whatever you produce out of however many acres you grow. So if you have a 40 bushel soybean yield next year, that's what you're committed to. Or if you have a 50 bushel yield or a 10 bushel yield. So you don't run the risk. It's like a giant act of God clause. You don't run the risk of over contracting food grade soybeans at big premiums.
Gotcha. Richland IFC. We'll give Jake's phone number here again in a moment. But is that the reason why a lot of producers were hesitant to sell their crop back in late May and early June when the prices were sky high? It was a gamble. Didn't know if they'd have that big of a crop, and selling it in the futures market was risky.
Well, and that's always a consideration coming into the growing season, particularly so after what we had happen last year. You know, it is truly amazing that we went from a pretty major drought, probably the worst drought I've heard since 1988, lakes low, I mean, half yields last year, to all of a sudden, you know, record rainfall or near record rainfall in April, May. So, yeah, that kind of uncertainty makes it difficult to just go out and sell 30 or 40 bushels an acre at really high prices. And that's one of the real advantages of these acreage contracts. It's what you produce. It's not based on a set bushel per acre.
It's not can I deliver, it's I will deliver. All righty.
I'll deliver what I have, and all is good.
You bet. All right, Mike, how do they get a hold of Richland IFC?
Again, it's Jake, and it's 218-643-1797.
Okay. Thank you, Mike, for the visit. I hope you have a good rest of the week and get at least one golf game in this week.
I'm going to try, Mick.
All righty. Thank you. Talk to you next week, Mike.
Yep. Bye-bye. Thanks.
Bye now. All righty. Hey, we're going to take a quick break, come back, and we've got from Kansas City, Stone X's Arlen Suderman next on Farm Talk.